America behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin. Scott, let's go over some of the different types of cars or types of vehicles. We got the road vehicles, right?
Sure, yeah.
Oh.
This could take all day.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Let's just skip to...
No. Where are we going?
We're going to a new car that I'm really excited about. A new type of vehicle.
All right, well, keep going. Let's see.
We got
road cars.
Yeah, we got amphibious.
Amphibious.
Because we're going vehicles. Let's think out of the box.
Oh.
Right?
You talking like sidecar racing, that type of stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, I just watched some of that last night, by the way. Isle of Man TT on television. Awesome.
Man, you guys, it's really cool. You guys just have no idea, listeners, how on point Scott is with this stuff.
It was fun. It was good to watch. But let's see what else we got. We got lunar vehicles.
We have lunar. Yeah. Nice one.
Lunar vehicles.
Raising the stakes.
Let's see. What else we do? Sand buggies.
Yeah. We did flying cars.
We did that. We've talked about boats. We've talked about motorcycles, of course. We mentioned that. Big cars. Tanks.
Yeah.
We've talked about armored vehicles.
Mm-hmm. One would almost think at this point that we've exhausted all the possibilities, right?
It seems like that as we get ready for each show, doesn't it?
Sometimes it does. But here we go. We've got a little ace up our sleeve.
Something new.
And you've heard of all-terrain vehicles, but what about this? Super-terrain vehicles.
This one left me scratching my head when you mentioned this to me. Mm-hmm. You found this first. And you pointed it out to me and you know, gave me direction to where to look to find this thing. But, I'd never, ever heard of super-terrain vehicles. And you can kind of guess what they look like, or you think you can guess what they look like until
you see one.
Yeah, really. They're really crazy, aren't they?
Yes. Now, these are a new type of vehicle. Originally, I'll be honest with you, I thought super-terrain vehicle, the phrase super-terrain, was some sort of marketing thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Sounds kind of corny.
Like how there's always a new version of the web, Web 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Super web.
Super web, all-terrain web.
Yeah.
But this thing is the closest I could come to describing it is that it looks sort of like a blend between the – oh, you've got a picture. Like a blend between the newest Batmobile in the Christopher Nolan Batman movies and a Hummer.
That's a very good description.
Thanks. I've worked
very
on it.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, the wheels are embedded up into the body, though.
Yeah.
So this thing sits in a cradle between the wheels, really.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I found really interesting about this is when you look at a photo, all you have to do is a quick Google search for – super terrain vehicle.
Sure.
Or it's called a Shadowhawk vehicle. That's the manufacturer that makes these things, Shadowhawk.
Yeah.
And, you'll find several photos of these things. One thing that struck me as odd as I read through this was that these aren't all that big.
No, not really.
They're actually, I mean, they appear large in these photos, but there's nothing to scale.
Yeah.
You don't have anybody standing next to them. You don't have another vehicle. Other than another super terrain vehicle, they say that these things are, and I want to make sure I get this right, but it's about the same size as a modern Corvette.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could not believe it when I looked at this thing because they look
like monsters.
Huge. Yeah, they do. And the other thing, this got me. I'm gonna mention a photo, and you'll find it if you do the search that I mentioned. It's right on the homepage, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's a photo of one of these things with its wheels articulated in the off-road fashion. I'm gonna show you the photo right here.
Yeah.
Now, we
should check that.
Now,
we should go into detail.
What does that remind you of when you see that?
It reminds me of monster trucks.
Really?
A little bit, and it also reminds me of, it reminds me of these toys I used to have when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Mask.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm giving a shout out to an obscure toy line.
That's all right.
The whole thing about Mask was there were these good guys and bad guys in this cartoon show, and they had these vehicles that transformed into other vehicles. Sounds elementary now, but let me tell you, I was floored for like 3 years over these things.
Oh, sure. That's cool stuff.
And this looks like it's transforming. It looks like a transformer to me.
You know what it got me thinking about?
What's that?
If you look at that photo, to me that looks like a photo of two animals and one putting its paw on top of the other animal.
Oh, it does.
Like almost
the headlights
it's putting
are
up
like
on its neck or something.
Yeah.
The way the wheels articulate in these things, if we can describe this for, you know, someone who might be on a bus or in their car or wherever. These wheels articulate, they individually articulate, I think the travel,
46
46 inches of independent travel on these wheels. And the thing is, like, the photo that I'm looking at, the left wheel is up above the roof line of the second vehicle, while the other three other wheels are completely on the ground. The body's not torqued in any way. It's flat. Yet this one wheel is up above the other vehicle. So you get the idea that this thing has this incredible, ability to scale objects and to, I mean, the wheels are right at the front and right at the back of the vehicle too. So you know the angle of approach. That off-roaders are really concerned with because, you know, that's how close you can get to something before you begin to start crawling over it.
Yeah.
That's right at the front. I mean, the wheels are right on the front bumper and the back bumper as well. It's an amazing vehicle, really, when you start to read through this information about the different body types, the different styles that are available and, oh my gosh, the engines that they have. Cause these aren't just, just some crazy off-road idea that, you know, well, we'll put this in, we'll put it, you know, a truck engine that we already have laying around in this thing, and it'll be fine.
Not at all.
These are really something special.
Kick a little bit of statistic magic for us.
Hang on one second here. I was just looking for that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, there's a bunch of different types of vehicles you can get. Okay, so there's the Street Hawk.
Right.
Which they call... They call it the most conservative, which I think is pretty funny.
It's funny when you're talking about a monster vehicle like this to call it conservative.
Go ahead.
I was going to say there's also the Steel Hawk for people who want a little bit more, a little bit more ruggedness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it says best on-road performing super terrain vehicle. So
yeah,
crazy. You would think that the other one is, but the Steel Hawk apparently. You're talking about the Street Hawk?
The Steel Hawk.
Oh, did I say Street Hawk?
Yeah. It gets a little confusing because those models are somewhat closer together. The Street Hawk, though, is the flagship one, right?
Yeah. I'm wincing because I think I just blew it, right? You're talking about the Steel Hawk.
There's the Desert Hawk, too.
Yeah.
And the Desert Hawk, is made expressly for driving around in, guess?
Oh, I don't know. An arid region?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, perhaps. Can you do my favorite one?
Terra Hawk?
Almost.
Oh no, really? That's not the Terra Hawk? Hang on one second.
No, my favorite one is
the Armor Hawk?
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, okay. Now the Armor Hawk is one they don't even have a photo of.
Mm-hmm.
And, did you find this funny when you read this? They can't really give you too much information about the Armor Hawk.
Which is just brilliant for the website.
Is.
They got me. I want to see one so bad.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. They all look similar, but, you know, there's this mystique around the Armor Hawk that, you know, they can't show you it. They can't really tell you too much about it because that would give away, you know, trade secrets.
And it's designed to be sold to governments rather than to individuals or private organizations. So the best thing we can say about the Armor Hawk is that bad boy can take a beating. That's the entire point of it.
Yeah.
We can make some conjectures. We could say that they probably have, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say heavier armor, especially probably on the undercarriage.
Yeah.
And they probably have some specialized tire technology, I imagine.
I would think so, yeah. And probably bulletproof windows,
I would think.
I'm sure that they've got a lot of other, underbody, mine-proofing type stuff going on there as well. Remember that we talked about in armored vehicles?
Yeah.
I'm sure that all of that's happening and then some.
Yes. And here's something that you wouldn't believe. You guys are not going to believe it when you actually look at these vehicles. The fastest model, does 0 to 60 in less than 4 seconds.
Yeah, that's amazing. And get this, the engine horsepower, 1,100 horsepower and 1,805 pound-feet of torque, which, I mean, that's incredible. That's you can hook it up to a building and move the building.
In Tennessee, we say it just ain't right.
ain't
natural.
That's a stump puller.
That's a stump puller.
Yeah, that is. That's a stump puller because, I mean, that's an incredible amount of torque for this vehicle. But when you look at, I mean, it is big. They're big and I gotta assume they're heavy.
Yeah,
I don't even know if there's a weight listed here or not. I'm not sure, but
I'm sorry.
Unbelievable. Oh, one other thing. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned that there are cameras on all four sides of these things.
Oh yeah, good call.
So that because you might be concerned about visibility in something like this, and I can understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might be concerned that the boulders that you're climbing over, the other vehicles that you're climbing over, that you're unable to see the sides of the vehicle or behind the vehicle. Not the case in this. They've got no blind spots at all because of cameras that are completely surrounding the vehicle. just they thought of everything, I think, is probably the way,
yeah,
the way to put it.
Yeah, I think so. And even weirder to me is that there is – it gets like 20 miles to the gallon, mm-hmm, which is just far beyond the capabilities of other armored vehicles.
Yeah, that's true.
Generally.
Yeah, because they're so heavy and just so, mm-hmm, so cumbersome. Now, I mean, we mentioned the one that has 1,100 horsepower and 1,805
yes,
pound-feet of torque. There's, remember the one that I said is conservative?
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
the Steelhawk, okay? And that one, okay, has 360 horsepower and 650 pound-feet of torque, which is still an awful lot of horsepower, an awful,
yeah,
lot of torque, because it's not that big of a vehicle, really. But, mm-hmm, it does weigh – here's the weight. It does have the weight. 5,900 pounds. So, huh, 5,900 pounds, that's a lot of weight.
Yeah, that's a lot to move around.
But see, that's not the one that we're talking about where it goes super fast.
Oh, either. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the one that, you know, that's the 1,100 horsepower and, you know, the top speed, 208 miles per hour.
Are you serious?
Can you imagine? It just doesn't look like you could go 208 because of the blunt shape of this thing.
Right, it's not aerodynamic, but it reminds me of a quote that Enzo Ferrari said, mm-hmm, famously. He said, aerodynamics are for people who can't build engines.
Very good, very good.
Yeah, he said sense. It in Italian,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, and this one weighs 4,800 pounds, the one that can achieve 208.
I see.
So it weighs 900 pounds less.
Yeah, that's probably a really big factor there.
900 pounds less, and it also has 700 horsepower additional. So, yeah, that's,
man,
a big difference.
I want one so bad.
I think I do, too.
Really?
Yeah, this is really cool.
We're on
cool.
the same page?
Yeah, there's the cost issue I would assume to be astronomical.
Well, yeah, okay. We should go ahead and come clean with that. Before we do, I wanna say just a couple of other things. It does have a huge storage area. Mm-hmm. Apparently it's almost 30 cubic feet of storage.
Whoa.
So you can put all kinds of stuff in there, mm-hmm, right? It's not just the toy vehicle. You like how I'm pre-defending myself for buying one?
Mm-hmm.
And when it has the wheels articulated all the way up, all 46 inches, it can still hit 30 miles an hour.
Really?
Yeah, which to me seems kind of dangerous because it'd be unstable.
You would be way up in the air at that point.
Yeah, you're way up. And then additionally, it can still go a little bit higher. It can go to like 14 inches or something when you're going faster than 30.
Hmm.
All of which is to say that I feel this may be justified in its price tag.
What is the price tag?
Which is projected to be in excess of $1 million.
No, come on.
Yes.
$1 million?
Yes. We can go in on one together, bro.
I didn't see that coming. I really didn't think it was going to be that high.
I think part of it is that these are – now – these also haven't been produced yet. They want to start making these roll out in about 2011.
Okay.
But usually, I hate to say it, man, but usually when you see an estimated cost for a new type of vehicle like this, that cost tends to go up.
Oh, boy.
Before they get to product. You know that, right?
Yeah, so, sure, it happens. Yep.
So you and I might have to pool our resources to get one. We'll just switch off.
Yeah, I'd say, I'm going to have to draw from other sources.
Yeah, but this is really – I'm going to go ahead and say it, Scott. This is my pick for the closest thing you can get to a Batmobile.
You know, I think you're right. I mean, in appearance and probably in abilities,
mm-hmm,
I would say that this is probably the closest thing. I mean, that armored version, how cool is that? I mean, you get into trouble, you can simply climb over other vehicles to get out of there.
Good call.
Yeah, you don't have to – you could ram through them for one.
Mm-hmm.
You got cameras so that, you know, when your windows – take shots or whatever happens.
Yeah.
You know, and they say that, you know, that glass powders,
mm-hmm,
you know, the bulletproof glass, you know, it doesn't remain clear. You've got cameras to drive you out. It's amazing. Amazing car.
And it's at least one of those versions is street legal, the Street Hawk.
Yeah. Yeah. At least one. I don't know. I'd be willing to say that a couple of those at least are.
I would imagine.
Probably the Steel Hawk, and I would bet that the Street Hawk are.
Yeah,
of course, the Street Hawk. It's right in the name. But
the Armor Hawk and the Battle Hawk are probably too heavy.
Do you think we're really going to see these on the road?
Well, in real life?
Yeah.
I highly doubt that you and I are going to be walking by and see one. But I bet if we're at a car show or an exposition, then we might see one. And I'm waiting for the episode of Stuff Scott Sees coming up in 2011. I would love it if you see one of these.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? Hopefully we will see one on, mm-hmm, the road, or more than one on the road. I think these are really, really interesting cars. And I mean, they're definitely stand out in design,
mm-hmm,
and function. And, yeah, I mean, I think somebody should give them a shot.
My friend, can you imagine if someone buys one of these and then takes it to that James Bond-esque company we talked about?
Oh, yeah.
That'll add smoke screens and rocket launchers.
Yeah, so you had a $1 million car and you're adding on top of that some more cool stuff. I mean, how cool would that be?
And it could be a daily driver. The mileage is good enough.
Ejector seat.
The point is that you don't have to eject.
Yeah, it's true.
But we should. So while we're thinking about how to save up for one of these, do you want to do some listener mail?
I would love to do listener mail. All right, Ben, I got a note here from Kevin. And Kevin is from Aurora, Ohio. That's a tough one for me. Aurora, Ohio. Says he's been listening to the series, loves cars, always finds everything that we talk about kind of interesting.
Oh, shucks.
I know. He actually says he's a pretty big car guy himself, and does a lot of work on his car. Basically, if it isn't transmission or heavy electrical, he'll do it himself. All right, so that's the
awesome.
The scope of this guy's work. He'll do just about anything, but he does have a mechanic that he goes to, and he will send his mechanics to that person as well. Mm-hmm. What he found interesting was that his mechanic, knowing that he has mechanical knowledge, will describe to him every single part of the process. You know, he's very, very detail oriented, and that's what this guy likes about it. Kevin likes it. He says, that he'll tell me everything from the diagnosis right to the point where the shiny new parts in his car.
That's a great mechanic.
And
right there.
You know, the friends that he sends. Yeah, I agree. The friends that he sends, the mechanic doesn't bother with that because he knows that their eyes are just going to glaze over because they don't really care that much about it. You know, they're just not into it like Kevin is. Right.
Right.
All right. So Kevin says, here's the gist of the letter. Here is that. He was happy to hear us giving a laugh to the list when we were talking about mechanics. Remember shopping around for an honest, good mechanic? He says he was happy to hear that we were giving a laugh to the list when they were basically telling people to look for the place with the prettiest waiting room or the most comfortable couches.
That's my response.
I agree, yeah. He says, I, like you guys, am usually at a place that may not have much room to sit, and it's usually pretty dirty. These guys are fixing cars, not making the cover of Better Homes and Gardens. Good point. And he says a good rule of thumb to go by when looking for a mechanic is never trust a mechanic with clean fingernails. If they're clean, he's spending too much time counting money and not enough time getting dirty.
Nice one, Kevin.
Yeah, so I think that's good. He says, thanks for the show. I enjoy it. And, he likes our Facebook picture, by the way.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This guy's laying it on thick.
I know. It was a nice letter. It was a good letter. But, I agree with him. Yeah, you want a mechanic that gets in there and gets his hands dirty, not the guy behind the counter that is all clean with the clean uniform.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, I always get a little – my spider sense goes off if I walk into a mechanic's office and it's too clean.
Yeah.
I think you and I, and it sounds like Kevin too, are actually on the opposite page of whoever wrote that first list.
Yes.
Whomever.
Oh, very good.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Well, we got to get out of here, man, and start saving up for our new Batmobile.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know where to begin on that. I guess I'm going to have to take back some aluminum or something.
Scott Binmobile?
Yeah.
Car Stuff Mobile?
Start recycling for cash.
Yeah, I'm going to have
selling
a yard
blood.
Sale.
I'm going to sell blood.
Let's sell blood at our yard sale. And so go ahead.
That's
and
creepy,
before, we, before we pass out from blood loss.
That's so creepy.
It is creepy. Before we get too carried away with this, if you guys have some sage advice or some comments on our newest episode here, please hit us up at Facebook. Check out our picture, too. Kevin thinks it's hilarious. You can find us also at Twitter, CarStuffHSW. You can check out Scott's awesome blog. And if you have any questions or you want to hear more about any other topic and you can't find it on our website, go ahead and hit us up directly at
CarStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. The HowStuffWorks.com iPhone app is coming soon. Get access to our content in a new way. Articles, videos, and more, all on the go. Check out the latest podcasts and blog posts and see what we're saying on Facebook and Twitter. Coming soon to iTunes.